إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، والشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، we come to the sixth lesson in fiqh al-janaiz, وأحكام الجنائز, the fiqh and the rulings of the funeral procession and the funeral preparations and the funeral prayer. Last week, we covered the matters which are obligatory upon a person or upon the relatives of a deceased person to do after a person has died, and those matters which are permissible, so obligatory, permissible, and then those matters which are impermissible and may lead to innovations and a shirk. I mentioned that the matters which are obligatory upon a relative of a deceased person to do after their relative has passed away are three. Number one, as-sabr, which is patience. And the meaning of as-sabr is habsun nafs, for a person to control themselves and their actions, their thoughts and their statements. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned the principle when it comes to being patient upon a calamity. He said to the lady when he advised her, "Inna sabr 'inda sadmatil ula." Indeed, patience is to be maintained in the first instance of the calamity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave glad tidings to the patient. He said, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give the glad tidings are to those who are patient. The second obligatory matter upon the relative of a deceased person is al-ihtisab. And the meaning of al-ihtisab is to seek the reward of Allah in this calamity which has afflicted you. And we find in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, him mentioning the mercy of Allah upon the Muslim and upon the Muslims and the believers, that whenever any calamity befalls a person, even if it's a thorn which pricks a person, then in this is some reward. Either goodness is being written for the person, or evil sins or evil deeds are being wiped away. So this is al-ihtisab, that a person seeks reward in Allah through any calamity or difficulty or hardship or affliction that he or she faces. And then the third matter, which is obligatory upon a person whose relatives have passed away, is al-istirja'. And the meaning of al-istirja' is to say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." To Allah we belong, or to Allah we came, and to Him we will return. And this is something which is said not only as a reaction to the death of somebody, but also any calamity, any affliction. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give glad tidings to the patient people. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Those people upon whom when an affliction or a calamity befalls them, they say, "Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Ulaika alayhim salawatum min rabbihim. Those are the people upon whom they are the prayers or the blessings of their Lord, wa rahma, and patience and mercy, wa ulaika humul muhtadun. And those are the people who will be truly guided. So these are the three matters which are obligatory upon the relatives of a deceased person. After this, there are some matters which are permissible, things that is permissible for us to do, but it's not an obligation. From amongst the permissible acts is, after the body of the deceased person has been covered from head all the way to toe, then it's permissible to uncover the head of the deceased person for a short while and kiss the forehead of the deceased person. And we find a number of hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also actions of the companions in this regard. So I mentioned how Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away and his body was covered, he uncovered his face and he kissed his forehead. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he kissed the forehead of his stepbrother, his brother from the same suckling mother called Uthman ibn Mad'un. So this is something which is permissible. And it's important to note that the base ruling in terms of covering the face or the head of a deceased person is that it remains covered all the time. As soon as the person passes away, then his or her body is covered from all the way from the head all the way to the toe. The exception of this is the muhrim, the person who is in a state of ihram performing hajj or al-umrah. The other permissible matter is al-buka, is to cry or to weep. And this is something which is natural. And this is, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رَحْمَةٌ يَجْعَلُهَا مِنْ عِبَادِي فِي قُلُوبِ عِبَادِي. It is a mercy which Allah places up in the hearts of His slave. For a person to weep or to cry over a calamity or over the loss of a beloved person, then this is a mercy that Allah places in the hearts of His believing slaves. وَإِنَّمَا يَرْحَمَ اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الرُّحَمَى. And Allah is merciful upon His slaves who also show mercy to others. And then we also mention the issue of Al-Hidad. And Al-Hidad means observing a period of mourning and grieving. And this is something which is permitted. It's not something which is wajib. It's not something which is an obligation. Rather, it's a matter which is permitted. And it is permitted for the women. So this isn't something for the men. Rather, it's something which is specific for the women. What is the length or the duration of the mourning, the period of mourning and grieving? It depends on the person who has passed away. So if it is the husband of the wife who is mourning, then it is 4 months and 10 days. And if it is a relative and not a husband, then it's only 3 days. And it's not permissible to mourn or grieve more than 3 days. And this is something which has been mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and also in the Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the hadith of Habiba radiallahu anha, لا يحل لمرأة تؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر. It's not permitted for a woman who believes in Allah and the last day, أن تحد على ميت فوق ثلاث, to grieve or mourn over a person, over a deceased person, more than 3 days. Illa ala zawjin, except her husband, arba'ata ashhurin wa ashra, and she is permitted to grieve over him for 4 months and 10 days. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when some of his companions were grieving over Ja'far radiallahu anhu, and they had grieved over 3 days, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to them and he said to them, La tabku ala akhi ba'd al-yawm. Do not weep or grieve over my brother more than this day, because they had been grieving for 3 days or more than 3 days. And then finally we mention those matters which are not permissible to do when it comes to reacting to a person's death. So the first thing which is impermissible is an-niyaha. And the meaning of an-niyaha is wailing. So this is similar to crying or weeping, except a person starts exceeding the limits. And these limits can be exceeded in terms of raising one's voice in weeping and crying, or having a belief in your heart that this is a mistake, or Allah has oppressed a particular person, the decree isn't correct, or this person shouldn't be taken away. Also for a person to complain or to hit themselves or tear their clothes and so on and so forth. And this is called an-niyaha. An-niyaha, we mentioned last week, is from the major sins. And it's also from al-kufr, from disbelief. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith of Abu Malik al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, أَرْبَعَةٌ فِي أُمَّتِي مِنْ أُمُورِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ لَا يَتَرْكُونَهُنْ. There are 4 matters from the aspects or the actions or the characteristics of al-jahiliyyah which will remain in my ummah that the people will not leave. Number one, al-fakhru fil ahsab, for people to be proud and arrogant over their status or their tribes or the caste. Wa ta'nu fil ansab, and for a person to insult others in their lineage or insult his own lineage. Wal istisqa'u bin nujum, or to seek rain through stars, i.e. astronomy. And then an-niyaha, i.e. wailing over a deceased person. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned the sins or the punishment for a person who does this, an-niyaha, wailing. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that an-niyaha is al-kufr, it is disbelief. Thintani fin nasi huma bihim kufrun, two of the people's practices are acts of al-kufr, disbelief. Al-ta'nu fin nasab, dishonoring and insulting one's kinship, ties and lineage. Wal-niyahatu ala al-mayyit, and wailing over a deceased person. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us regarding a deceased person whose family wail over him. He said, "Innal mayyit la yu'adhdhabu bi bukai ahlihi alayh," that indeed a deceased person, he's punished in his grave due to the wailing of his family upon him. And we mentioned that the ulama, the fuqaha, they have mentioned that the meaning of this is a man or a person who didn't teach his family regarding wailing and the fact that it is haram, or a person who ordered his family to wail over him, or a person who knew that the customs of his people and his society is that they wail, and he didn't teach and warn his family from doing this. So all of these, or these are the actions which are impermissible. And I also mentioned in the last lesson, an-na'i, and the meaning of an-na'i is announcing a person's death. We mentioned that in terms of announcing death, then there's something which is permitted and something which is impermissible. That which is permitted is to inform people of a person's death and to ask them to seek forgiveness for the deceased person, or to attend the funeral prayer, or if you need help in terms of washing the body or the burial, or even expenses. And that which is not permissible is doing it in the way that the people of Al-Jahiliyyah used to do, and that is announcing the deaths over the speakers, the minarets, in public places. Even if a person was to, for example, put up posters everywhere in the town, then this isn't permissible. And something which is modern to our time, writing obituaries in the newspapers, this is from an-na'i, which is from al-jahiliyyah. And in terms of that which is permissible, or the evidence for na'i which is permissible, then we mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he announced the death of an-Najashi, the Abyssinian king. He announced it in front of the people in order for the people to pray janazah over an-Najashi. Now we come to at-ta'ziyah, condolences, offering condolences to the family of a deceased person, at-ta'ziyah. So this is now what is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with regard to visiting the family of a deceased person, or speaking to the deceased person, and also, and what is permissible and what is impermissible. So firstly, the meaning of at-ta'ziyah in the Arabic language is from the word al-'azw or al-muwasat, and it is taqwiyatul musab. It is to strengthen a person upon whom this affliction or calamity has come to, ala tahammuli ma nuzila bihi min al-makruh, in order for him or her, in order to make him or her patient in forbearing this thing which is not like to them. Meaning, the meaning of ta'zi in the Arabic language is to say words to the relative of a person who has been afflicted with something in order to strengthen that person so they can bear this thing which is naturally disliked to them. And the objective behind a ta'ziyah is to reduce the sorrow or the sadness of the deceased, and to raise their hope, to help them to be patient and to be submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is done by saying words which are found in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and dua, supplication, and also any other words and any other statements, even if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not mention them, but they fulfill this objective of comforting the person and raising their sorrow and raising their hopes, and so on and so forth. The objective behind a ta'ziyah, behind condolences, isn't to make the relatives of the deceased person cry. We find in our culture today that sometimes we have women who visit the house of the deceased person, and their only action is to make the mother or the wife or the daughter of that person cry. So this isn't the objective of at-ta'ziyah. Rather, the objective of ta'ziyah is to remove the sorrow and the crying and to comfort the relatives of the deceased person. And this is the ruling of at-ta'ziyah, is that it is a sunnah mu'akkadah. It's an emphasized sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in some of the previous examples, I have mentioned how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to his companions and he gave them at-ta'ziyah. If you remember the hadith of Salama, when Abu Salama radiallahu anhu passed away and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited his family and gave them at-ta'ziyah. And also the other hadith that I have mentioned. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Man azza akhahu al-mu'min, whoever consoles his brother, fi musibatin, in an affliction that has befallen him, كَسَاهُ اللَّهُ حُلَّةً خَضْرَى يُجْبَرُ بِهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Then Allah will clothe him with a green piece of clothing which will delight him on the day of resurrection. So, at-ta'ziyah is sunnah mu'akkada. It's an emphasized sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to visit the relatives of the deceased person and to comfort them with good words and with supplications. And it's also a show of kindness and concern, as the author mentions. At-ta'ziyah, giving condolences, it comes under the general principle of the Prophet, the general principle of the Sharia, in terms of building brotherhood and sisterhood and strengthening a community and spreading goodness and happiness amongst the Muslims. And we find a number of hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this regard. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Bashiru wala tunafiru. Give good tidings, give glad tidings and good news to the people. Wala tunafiru. And don't cause them to flee away from you. Wa yassiru wala tu'assiru. And make things easy upon the people and don't make them difficult upon the people. So at-ta'ziyah, it comes under this general principle of giving good news and glad tidings to the Muslims and not giving them bad news and making things easy for the Muslims and not making things difficult for them. And also it comes under the general principle of entering happiness into the hearts of the believers. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith of Abi Hurairah in Al-Bayhaqi, Inna min ahabbil a'mali ila Allah, indeed from the most beloved actions to Allah, idkhal as-surur ala qalbil mu'min, is to enter happiness into the heart of a believing person, into the heart of a mu'min. So this is an act of worship. For you to go and enter happiness into the heart of a believing Muslim, then this is ibadah. This is worship which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards. وَأَنْ يُفَرِّجْ عَنْهُ غَمَّا, and to remove a worry or an anxiety from the heart of a believer. Or yaqdi anhu dayna, or to fulfill or pay a debt on behalf of another person. Or yut'imuhu min ju', or to feed a poor person. So all of these actions in terms of entering happiness into the hearts of the believers, or removing worries and anxieties from the believer, or fulfilling or paying a loan or a debt on behalf of a Muslim, of feeding a poor person, all of these are acts of worship which are أحب الأعمال إلى الله, which are from the most beloved of actions to Allah. And التعزية, offering condolences and removing sorrow, comes under this hadith, or comes under this general principle. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, من فرج عن مسلم كربة من كرب الدنيا, whomsoever removes from a Muslim a worry or an anxiety from the worries of this dunya, فَرَّجَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كُرْبَةً مِنْ كُرَبِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, then Allah will remove from him a worry or an anxiety from the anxieties or worries of the day of resurrection. وَمَنْ يَسَّرَ عَلَى مُعَسِّرٍ, and whoever makes something easy upon a person who has difficulties, يَسَّرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, then Allah makes easy easiness upon him in the dunya and in the akhirah. وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِي, and Allah is in the help and the service of his slave as long as his slave is in the help and aid and service of his brother. So all of these actions of giving glad tidings to the Muslim believers and helping them and making Muslims happy and keeping away from them difficulties and making things easy for them, removing their anxieties and sorrows in terms of words and du'as and helping them, all of this is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is also ibadah, it is also worship. So when we do these actions, then we do them, we're not doing it with the intention that we're pleasing the person by making him or her happy, rather we're doing it with the intention of making Allah happy. And that it is worship that we are rewarded for. And this is no doubt from the beauties of Al-Islam. That Islam, not only does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala oblige upon us the obligation of worshipping him and fulfilling his rights, but he has also obliged upon us to fulfill the rights of the creation. And not only do we try to please Allah and make Allah happy, but at the same time we try to please the people and make the people happy. However, there's an important principle here, and that is that we don't please the people and we don't make the people happy if it leads to Allah becoming angry and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becoming displeased. لا طاعة للمخلوق في معصية الله. There is no obedience to the creation when it becomes disobedience to Allah. So this happiness and this making people pleased and happy is within the confines of the Sharia. And there are a number of hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I mentioned, when he went and he offered ta'ziyah to his companions. The example that is mentioned in this book by the author is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to sit in his masjid, in Masjid Nabawi, in order to teach the people regarding al-Islam. And amongst his companions who used to sit with him was a man who had a little son that would come from behind him and sit in front of him. So from this hadith, the first benefit is in terms of bringing your children to the masjid. Look, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even when the Prophet was teaching the companions would bring their children and they would sit behind them, or sometimes they would sit in front of them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked this man, he said, "Atuhibbuhu?" Do you love your child? And the man replied, "O Allah's Messenger, may Allah love you like I love him." Meaning, he replied to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying that I love my son a lot. The hadith continues, later on the boy passed away, and the father was grievous saddened by his loss, and he stopped coming to the halaqa, he stopped coming to the lesson or the circle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, due to his sadness and grieving over his child. And then Allah's Messenger, he missed this man. And another benefit that we take from this hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam كان يفتقد أصحابه, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would miss his companions and he would ask about his companions. So if he saw people coming regularly to the masjid or coming to the lessons, and then for a small period of time a particular person didn't come to the masjid or he didn't come to the lesson, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would ask about this person. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked about this man, the companions informed him, "O Allah's Messenger, his son that you saw has died." So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he summoned him and he consoled him, meaning he gave him a ta'ziyah. And he asked him, "Ya fulan, O so and so, ayyuma kana ahabbu ilayk, which of these two options are more beloved to you? An tumatta'a bihi umrak, that you enjoy your child and the company of your child throughout your life, O la ta'ti ghadan ila babin min abwab al jannah, or tomorrow, i.e. after death, you do not come to a door from amongst the doors of Al-Jannah, illa wajadtahu qad sabaqaka ilayh, except that you find your son, he has already preceded you to the doors of Jannah, yaftahu lak, and he opens the door of Jannah for you." And the man, he replied that the second is more beloved to him. The point is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, through these words, the only objective he had was to give ta'ziyah to this person, to give condolences and to give him some glad tidings and to make his heart happy and to relieve him of his sorrow and his sadness regarding the passing away of his son. And regarding children of the believers who pass away, then previously we mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whereby he mentioned that when three children or two children of Muslim parents, they pass away, then on the day of judgment, those children will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah and they will open the doors of Jannah for their parents. So this is something that when we find a Muslim brother or Muslim sister whose child has passed away, then this is something that we can give them ta'ziyah with. As I mentioned, the best of ta'ziyah is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the wording of the sunnah, the wording of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So if you want to give ta'ziyah to parents whose children have passed away, then give them ta'ziyah with this hadith. Mention to them this hadith and how this managed to come to the circle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave condolences and relieved this person through mentioning the reward of a person whose children pass away. In terms of what we say when it comes to giving a ta'ziyah, giving condolences to a person, then in reality anything which fulfills its objective. So anything which fulfills its objective of removing the sadness and giving glad tidings and making the person happy, then all of this is permitted. Whether it is dua or statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam or anything else. The author, Jazallah Khair, he mentions the number one, to remind that person regarding the triviality of life. Meaning, first of all, give the person a reminder, give the relatives a reminder themselves, so they take a lesson from the death of the deceased person. So you teach them that just as this person has passed away, then all of us will pass away, and that we're not here to live forever, and therefore we have to do righteous deeds and stay away from sins and seek forgiveness. And you talk to them about at-tawheed and staying away from ash-shirk. And in reality, through a limited experience of giving da'wah to the people, and especially the non-Muslims, over the past few weeks in the da'wah table in Nelson, that you'll be aware of, one of the most successful things that some of the brothers have noticed is when you're talking to non-Muslims, you talk to them about the triviality of life. That were you created without a purpose? Is this life just one life that you live and then there's nothing after this life? And often when you speak to the non-Muslims regarding this, they will start to question themselves. And only last week when I was at the da'wah table and I spoke to one of the non-Muslims and he was sitting there, and I said to him, you know, do you believe that there is a purpose to life? Do you believe there's something more than just this dunya, just this life? And the only thing he replied with was, he said, it would be good if there was some purpose. So even though he doesn't quite believe in it, but he hoped that there was some purpose to this life. And then this is your opening to a da'wah. So then you question him, okay, what do you believe this purpose is? And who is the one who has given you this purpose? And who is the one who has shown you how to fulfill this purpose and how to fulfill this objective? And through these questions, you can lead them to at-tawheed and to the risalah, to the message of al-Islam. And you also, in terms of giving a ta'ziyah, you remind them regarding the decree of Allah, that everything has a decree and everything has a limited time, and this person has passed away, this was his limited time in this world. And also that you give this person hope that there will come a time again that you will meet your deceased relative. And because your relative died upon at-tawheed, and because he died upon al-Islam, or she died upon Islam, then there is mercy and there is goodness and there is forgiveness, there is hope for your deceased person. And again, from the blessings of Islam is that we believe that soon we will meet our relatives once again. So imagine a life without Islam. In reality, a life without Islam is very lonely and very depressing. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ, that whoever stays away or deviates from my remembrance, then indeed for him is ma'ishatan danka. Indeed for him is a restricted life. So a life without Islam, and a life without at-tawheed, and a life without al-iman, this is a life which is restricted and despised and hated, and is full of sadness and stress and depression. And a life with Islam and iman and at-tawheed and iman in Allah, this is a life of happiness and joy. Yarhamukallah. وَمَنْ عَارَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا. Imagine a life in which if your father or your mother or your wife has passed away, that you believe that's it, it's finished. You're never going to meet your deceased person again. And this is the belief of many of the non-Muslims. They believe that this life, it is the only life. And for this reason, when the deceased pass away, they don't know how to react. Some of them drink, some of them throw parties, and they do other silly actions. But the believer, or the believers, we know that even though our deceased relatives have passed away, that there will soon come a time where we will meet them again. And through this we find comfort. And through the decree of Allah, we find at-tama'nina, tranquility. So again, this is another message that you can give when you go to give a ta'ziyah to a person, when you go to give condolences to a person. And in terms of the athar, the narration which has been narrated by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or in terms of the du'a that you should say to a person, the statement that you should say to a person, then it is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith of Usama ibn Zayd, "Inna lillahi ma akhad." When you go to the person, you say to them, "Inna lillahi ma akhad." Indeed, for Allah is that. To Allah belongs everything which He has taken. وَلِلَّهِ مَا أَعْطَى. And to Him, or to Allah, is that which He gives. وَلِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ لِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. And everything which is with Allah has a limited set period of time. So this is what is ma'thur, which is narrated, that we should say to the relatives of a deceased person when we go to give a ta'ziyah. Inna lillahi ma akhad, indeed for Allah is that which He has taken. Wa lillahi ma a'ata, and indeed for Allah is that which He has given. Wa kullu shayin indahu li ajalin musamma, and everything which Allah has, with Allah has a limited time or a limited period of time. And then you advise a person to have a sabr, to be patient, and to have al ihtisab, to have or to seek reward of Allah in this calamity. And again, we've mentioned the obligation of al sabr and al-ihtisab. So this statement, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا أَخَذْ وَلِلَّهِ مَا أَعْطَى وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ لِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى, this is firstly a reminder for yourself, even when you're giving ta'ziyah to others, that even me, even my time in this life, it is for a short amount of time. Because everything belongs to Allah, and everything comes from Allah, and everything with Allah has a set period of time. And it is a reminder for the relatives of the deceased person, and also it is a reminder for everybody else who might be sitting there or listening to what you are saying. In this statement is an affirmation of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, that Allah is the Lord, Allah is the Malik, the Rabb, He is the one who gives the pre-decree and has decreed everything. Because we said, Inna lillahi ma a'ta wa inna lillahi ma akhad. And also in this statement is an affirmation of the decree of Allah. And also in this statement is Al-Amr bil-Ma'ruf wa Nahi al-Munkar, and giving da'wah to the people. That you order them or you advise them with being patient and seeking the reward of Allah and staying away from the sins when it comes to a person passing away. And again, there are other examples of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam going and giving ta'ziyah, condolences, to the relatives of a deceased person. At-ta'ziyah, giving condolences, does it have a set period of time? Remember, when it comes to mourning and grieving and al-hidad, then we set this with either 3 days or 4 months and ten days. 3 days for a relative. However, at-ta'ziyah, it doesn't have a set period of time. So it doesn't mean that you have to go to the house of the deceased person or the relatives within 3 days, and if you go over those 3 days, then you can't go again. Rather, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah, he mentions that you go and you give a ta'ziyah as long as is needed. So if you see that this person, he's still, you know, feeling sadness or level of despair, even after 3 days or 4 days or a week or even after 2 weeks, you go and you visit the person again. Or you speak to the person on the phone. Or you meet the person in the masjid and you give him or her good words and supplications. So the objective behind ta'ziyah is comforting the person and removing the sorrow of the person, giving them hope. And you do this as long as is needed and a necessity. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave ta'ziyah to the family of Ja'far radiallahu an, as I mentioned, even after 3 days. He said, La tabku ala akhikum ba'da hadha al-yawm. He said, do not weep over my brother after this day. And then he made dua for him, for his family, and then he gave them good words. So it's permissible to give a ta'ziyah even if it's after the mourning period of 3 days. And it's mentioned in the hadith of Ja'far that the Prophet ﷺ, he visited the house of the deceased relatives. And this is an issue which I'm going to come to in a short while. The other issue is in terms of the relatives of the deceased person making food. So in terms of the relatives of the deceased person to make food and give to the guests, then this isn't from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, this is one of the innovative actions which have come into the customs of the people, and I will discuss this in a short while. However, for the neighbors of the family and the friends of the family to make food and give to the family in order to remove this worry or this obligation or this preoccupation from them, then this is something which has been encouraged in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said in the hadith of Abu Dawood, Isna'u li ali Ja'far ta'ama, make food for the family of Ja'far. Faqad atahum ma yushaghiluhum, because a mat has occurred which diverts them from normal life. So this is something which is encouraged for the neighbors and the family of the friends to make food for the relatives of the deceased person. And again, in this is a reminder of the blessings and the virtues of Al-Islam and the message of Al-Islam. That Islam, not only did it come with the rights of Allah upon the slaves, but also fulfilling the rights of slaves between each other. And the Muslims fulfilling the rights of each other, and also to build societies amongst the Muslims. And for this reason, we don't call Islam a religion, rather we call it a deen, a way of life. So look, even in terms of cooking food for the family of a deceased person, even this we have been ordered with. Entering happiness into the hearts of the believer, something that we've been ordered with. Any small thing which leads to the unity of the Muslims, and the Muslims coming together, and the Muslims becoming happy, then all of this we find in the Sharia and many, many ahadith. And anything which disunites the Muslims and causes aggression or harm or disunity amongst the Muslims, then we have been forbidden from doing these actions. So look, for example, straightening the rows. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, either you will straighten the rows or Allah will cause your hearts to be disunited. So in terms of straightening the rows and standing feet to feet and shoulder to shoulder, what's the objective? For the Muslims to become united and for there to be love, common love and affection amongst the Muslims. It's not permissible for a person to go to a woman intending to marry her whilst he knows that there is another person who has also gone to ask for the hand of the woman. Why? Because it might cause some hatred or national disunity between the Muslims. It's not permissible for a person to outbid another Muslim if he sees that person is doing deal with another, with a trader. Why? Because it might cause some hatred or dislike in the hearts of the Muslims. So anything which causes unity amongst the Muslims and happiness amongst the Muslims, this has been ordered with, as long as it's within the limits of the Sharia. And anything which causes disunity amongst the Muslims or hatred and dislike amongst the Muslims, then this is something which we have been warned against. So that is with regards to preparing food for the family of the deceased. Also from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that when a relative of a young child or an orphan passes away, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to wipe his head over the orphan. And this was in order to show affection and love to the young child or the orphan whose father or mother have passed away. And again, this is mentioned in one of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a hadith which mentions the reward of wiping your hand over the head of an orphan. And although the wording of the hadith is beautiful, except that this hadith is weak. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or it is narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this hadith is weak, "Man masaha ala ra'si al-yatim," whoever wipes his hand over the head of an orphan child, "kana lahu bi kulli sha'ratin hasana," then for every hair in which the hand has covered, there is for him a good deed. However, this hadith, it is weak. This hadith was narrated by Imam Ahmad in Al-Musnad, and also Abu Na'im in Al-Hilya, and Sheikh Muqbil Al-Wadi'i, he declared this hadith to be weak. I'm just going to read out to you the chain of narration, and I haven't studied Usul al-Hadith, so I'm just reading out to you. In this chain of narration is a narrator called Ali ibn Yazid al-Alhani, and he narrated from Abu al-Qasim, and he narrated from Abu Umama, and Yahya ibn Mu'in, and you know Yahya ibn Mu'in, who is from the famous Muhaddithin at the time of Imam Ahmad, he said, "Al-Ahadith al-Marwiyya bihadhi silsila kullaha dhi'af," that any hadith we find with this chain of narration, if you ever find a hadith in which the narrators are Ali ibn Yazid al-Alhan, upon the narration of Abu al-Qasim, upon the authority of Abi Umama, then all of these ahadith with this chain of narration, it is weak. So even though this hadith is weak, but the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of wiping your hand over a child, over the head of a child or an orphan, then this is something which is established. And again, this causes love and comfort to the child. These are the actions which are from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and which we are encouraged to do. Giving condolences, ta'ziyah, good words, making dua for the family of the deceased person, removing any sorrow or worry, anxieties from the family of the deceased person, neighbors, relatives, friends, making food for the relatives of the deceased person, and also showing love and affection to the children, and wiping your hand over the heads. And other things can be added to this, like for example giving a gift to a young child, just to make that child happier, anything with it which is in this meaning. Then there are other actions which unfortunately people do, and these are not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first action is designating or specifying a particular place for people to gather in order to give a ta'ziyah, or to visit the relatives, or to come and congregate and mention their sadness, or to mourn, or offer condolences. And this action is something which is innovated in this religion. And this action becomes worse when it's in the houses of one of the Muslims. And it becomes even worse when it's in the houses of Allah, when we start doing these actions in the masajid. And it becomes even worse when these masajid are from the masajid of Ahlul Sunnati wal Hadith, the people of Tawheed and Hadith and As-Sunnah. I.e., the innovation and the sin and the punishment becomes more and more severe as you're doing this. You first of all, you're doing your houses and there's punishments, and then you're doing the masajid of Allah, which is even more sin, because in the masajid, it should be only Tawheed and only Sunnah. There should be no innovations and no shirk in the masajid of Allah. And it becomes even worse when you're a people of Tawheed and people of Hadith and people of Sunnah, and you know At-Tawheed and you know the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you do this action. If it's done by somebody who's ignorant, then maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them due to their ignorance. But the obligation is still upon us to teach the ignorant people and to educate them. And al-amr bil-ma'roof and al-nahi anil munkar. So as I mentioned, in terms of congregating and gathering in marketplaces or houses or halls or graveyards or even masajid in order to give a ta'ziyah or for the relatives to come together and mourn, then this is from the innovative actions. And this is not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The question I can hear you asking is, what is your evidence? And the evidence is the hadith of Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali that I mentioned last week. That he said, "Kunna na'uddu al-ijtima'a 'inda ahli al-mayyit," that we the companions, we used to consider congregating with the family of the deceased person, وَصَنِيعَةَ الطَّعَامُ لَهُمْ, and also the relatives giving food to the people, مِنَ النِّيَاحَ. We used to consider this as being a niyaha. And I mentioned that a niyaha, as is in the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, it is disbelief, al-kufr. And it is from the acts of al-jahiliyyah. So first of all, a niyaha, we mentioned that this is wailing. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَرْبَعَةٌ فِي أُمَّتِي مِنْ أُمُورِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ لَا يَتْرُكُونَهُنْ. Four actions that will remain in my ummah, which are from the actions of al-jahiliyyah, and they will not leave them alone. And amongst these four actions, he mentioned al-niyaha, wailing, and doing these actions with regards to the deceased people. This is in Sahih Muslim. And then there are other actions which are linked or come under al-niyaha. And from those actions is congregating in houses or mosques or halls and saying al-fatiha or mourning or commemorating what they call Puri or Khatam, and all these actions enter into this. As I mentioned, Jarir ibn Abdullah in Ibn Majah and Muslim Imam Ahmad, he mentioned, Kunna na'ud al-ijtima' ila ahl al-mayyit. We used to consider congregating with the family of the deceased person, wasani'at al-ta'am, and also offering food on behalf, for the deceased person, ba'da dafnihi, after he has been buried, min al-niyaha. We used to consider this from al-niyaha, i.e. from the acts of jahiliyyah and from the actions of al-kufr. So these actions of al-khatam, or puri, or fatiha, or congregating the masajid, or specifying halls, then all of this is not allowed, and it's not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The reference is in Musnad Imam Ahmad, and also in Sunan Ibn Majah, the hadith of Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali. And when a companion says, kunna na'udu, we used to consider, then this means that this was the way of all of the companions. Because when he says, we used to consider, we the companions, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they used to consider this an action which was haram. And it's not possible for the companions to say something is haram and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam doesn't know about this. So therefore this hadith is not an action of the companions, but also the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And after the companions and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying this, then also many of the ulama have mentioned this thing. So, and I'm going to read to you some of the statements of the ulama regarding this. First is the statement of Imam al-Shafi'i rahimullah. He said, وَأَكْرَهُ الْمَأْتَمُ. He said that I hate al-ma'tam. And al-ma'tam is the relatives of the deceased coming together and congregating. And he mentioned, وَهِيَ الْجَمَاعَةُ, and it is a congregation. وَإِن لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ بُكَاءُ, even if they are not crying. So just the fact that people are coming together and congregating to give condolences or remembering the deceased person, then Imam al-Shafi used to see this as something which is impermissible. And he said, فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ يُجَدِّدَ الْحُزَنِ, because the only thing that this does, it renews the worries and the sadness, وَيُكَلَّفُ الْمُؤْنَى, and it costs the relatives of the deceased person. Imam al-Nawawi rahimullah, and just out of interest, do you know which madhab Imam al-Nawawi used to follow? Does anybody know which madhab Imam al-Nawawi rahimullah used to follow? He was Shafi'i. Imam al-Nawawi rahimullah, jazalah khair, he was from the Shafi'i madhab, even though he was a muhaddith. Imam al-Nawawi, of course, was muhaddith, but he was from the Shafi'i madhab. He said, وَأَمَّ الْجُلُوسِ لِلْتَعْزِيَةِ, as for sitting for giving ta'ziyah, meaning sitting, I congregating. So as for congregating for ta'ziyah, whether it's in a house or a masajid or any other thing, فَنَصَّ الشَّافِعِي, then Imam al-Shafi'i has mentioned, وَالْمُصَنِّفِ, and the author, meaning himself, Imam al-Nawawi, وَالسَّائِرِ الْأَصْحَابِ, and also the rest of the companions, i.e. the people of the Shafi'i madhab, عَلَى كَرَاهِيَتِهِ, that it is makruh. What is the meaning of al-makruh here? If you look into usul al-fiqh and the sciences of fiqh, the fuqaha have mentioned that when the word makruh is mentioned by the old imams, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ahmad, Imam Shafi'i, Malik, then the meaning of makruh here is at-tahrim, haram. And when makruh is mentioned in the latter times, in our times, then we consider it to be something which is disliked. So when we mention that Imam Shafi'i said, inni akrahu, he doesn't mean I just dislike it, rather he means I see it as being haram. And how could he not see it as being haram when we have the ijma' of the Sahaba saying, kunna na'ud, we used to consider, and also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Imam An-Nawawi rahimullah said, wa ammal julus al-ta'ziyah, as for people sitting and congregating for a ta'ziyah, then Ash-Shafi'i and Imam An-Nawawi and the rest of the companions, they used to see this as being haram. And he mentions, an yajtami'a ahlul mayyit fi bayt, that the family of the deceased person, they congregate in a house. فَيَقْصُدُهُمْ مَنْ أَرَادَ تَعْزِيَةً. And then whoever else wants to offer the condolences, they go and they specifically visit that house. The house, all of this they consider as being haram. What is the correct way? Imam An-Nawawi said, بَلْ يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَنْصَرِفُ. Rather, it's more befitting that the relative of the deceased person, they carry on with their normal life. They carry on with their normal life, fi hawaijihim, with their normal necessities. فَمَنْ صَادَفَهُمْ عَزَاهُمْ. And if somebody happens to meet them, then he gives them a ta'ziyah. So, somebody passes away, if you meet that person in a town center, in the marketplaces, in a library, in a masjid, then you give him a ta'ziyah. And it's not obligatory that you have to go to his house, and all of you have to congregate in his house. وَلَا فَرَقْ بِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ. And Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah mentions that there is no difference between the men and the women in this regard. Also, from one of the Imams of the Hanfi Madhab, Ibn al-Humam, and he was the author of Fath al-Qadir. And Fath al-Qadir, some of you will know, is one of the main books which the Ahnaf rahimullah, which they study. He said, وَيُكْرَهُ اتِّخَاذُ الضِّيَافَ مِنَ الطَّعَامِ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْبَيِّتِ. He said, and this is more about cooking food, he said that this is something which is disliked, i.e. haram, that people go and they visit the house of the relatives of the deceased person and then they give them food. لِأَنَّهُ شُرِعَ فِي السُّرُورِ وَلَا فِي الشُّرُورِ. Because giving up food and people coming together, this has been legislated in times of happiness and not in times of sadness. So in terms of giving food and commemorations and people coming together on food, then this is in times of happiness. Walima, Eid, Aqiqah, for example, all of these things we give food. When it comes to the death of a person, then no. Rather the neighbors and the relatives, they cook food for the family of the deceased person. And then Al-Imam Ibn al-Humam, Al-Hanafi rahimahullah, he mentioned, وَهِيَ بِدْعَ مُسْتَقْبَحَ. And this is something which is ugly, disliked, innovation. And then he mentioned the hadith of Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali. Ibn Qudama, and he was from one of the Imams of the Hanbali Madhab, he said, قال أبو الخطاب, أبو الخطاب said, يكره الجلوس للتعزية. That, and again the meaning of yukrah here is haram, that it is forbidden for people to come together and sit for التعزية. And the meaning of الجلوس is الاجتماع, people congregating. وقال ابن عقيل, and Ibn Aqil said, يكره الاجتماع بعد خروج الروح. People congregating after the soul of the person has left is something which is forbidden. And similarly in terms of offering food and doing what they call khatam. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah mentioned, وَأَمَّا صُنَعَتْ أَهْلِ الْمَيْتِ طَعَامًا. As for the family of the deceased person making food, وَيَدْعُونَ النَّاسِ إِلَيْهِ, and then calling the people to come and eat from this food, فَهَذَا غِيرُ مَشْرُوعٍ. Then this is not legislated, وَإِنَّمَا هُوَ بِدْعَ, and rather it is an innovation. And Al-Imam Mulla Ali Qari Al-Hanafi, and again he was from the Ahnaf, he mentioned also, وَاسْتِنَاعُ أَهْلِ الْمَيْتِ الطَّعَامِ, the family of the deceased person cooking food, لِأَجْلِ اجْتِمَاعَ النَّاسِ إِلَيْهِ, so all the people can come and they can eat this food and be congregated upon this food, بِدْعَةٌ, it is an innovation, مَكْرُوهَةٌ, which is disliked, بَلْ صَحَّ جَرِيرٌ, and then he mentioned the hadith of Jarir radiallahu anhu. In terms of people coming together and all of them reciting Quran and having sittings of reciting Quran for the deceased person, then Ibn Qayyim rahimullah mentions, وَكَانَ مِنْ هَدْيِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ تَعْزِيَةُ أَهْلِ الْمَيِّتِ. From the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is offering ta'ziyah and condolences for the relatives of the deceased person. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ مِنْ هَدْيِهِ أَنْ يَجْتَمِعْ لِلْعُزَىٰ. And it was never from his guidance that people come together and they congregate for ta'ziyah. وَيَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنَ عِنْدَ قَبْرِهِ أَوْ غَيْرِهِ. Or for the people to come together and all of them recite Qur'an in his grave, either the grave of the deceased person or other places of وَهَذَا بِدْعَةٌ حَادِثَةٌ مَكْرُوهَا. And this is an innovation and something which is innovative or new, and this is something which is disliked. In terms of reciting Fatiha, again, we do not find a single hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in which the companions used to come together and sit in a house or a masjid or a public place or a hall and all of them recite Fatiha or recite Quran and throw seeds into a bucket. All of these are bid'ah. All of these are innovations. Now, does this mean that that nobody is allowed to visit the house of a deceased person? No. There's a difference between al-ziyara and between al-ijtima'. And we've mentioned how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went to the family of Abu Salama and he went to the family of al-Ja'far. So visiting a person whose family has died, then that's permissible. Rather, this is something which is encouraged in al-Islam. There you go, you visit the person for a small amount of time, you say some good words, you make some dua, and then you leave. As for everybody just sitting there, and nobody giving ta'ziyah to the deceased person, or the relative of the deceased person, and then reciting Qur'an, this is where the innovation occurs. Visiting is permissible, but ijtima', congregating, sitting for a long time in public places, this is not permissible. And especially when it comes to ijtima' fil masajid, then this is not permitted. So if the ta'ziyah was going to be given in the masjid, then don't do this and don't attend. But if it's the house of a person, then naturally you can go, visit that person, say some good words to him, and then leave. And you don't sit there for a lengthy amount of time. And again, a ta'ziyah, as I mentioned, it doesn't have to be within the first day or the second day. It can be after 3 days, after 10 days, after a week. And maybe to show the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you don't go in the 3 days when people are congregating, but you go after that and you visit the person. Or if you meet him somewhere outside in the masjid, then you give them a ta'ziyah. A person might come with a doubt and they might say that, look, the only reason that we're meeting or we're specifying a particular place, you know, now they say women go to this house and men go to this house. Or like in our time they say the men go to Sulaiman Hall and the women go to this house. Or the men come to the masjid and the women go upstairs, for example. They say the only reason we're doing this is because we know that all of the people are going to be coming together and everybody wants to give us ta'ziyah, and you know, they all want to visit us, and this is a bigger place. And this is one of the biggest problems. Then instead of making the Qur'an and the sunnah as a ruler over us and our thinking, our logic, we allow our logic and our thinking to rule over the Qur'an and the sunnah. So look how they use this excuse, which is a logical excuse, and they deny or they go against the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith of Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali. And this is a problem that we find in the Muslims, that they first give their opinions and then they might check if it's from the sunnah or not, instead of basing their opinions upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So who said in the first place that the Muslims have to all congregate to give a ta'ziyah? Who obliged you or made you responsible with this heavy duty of welcoming all the guests and bringing all the people? Rather teach them and tell them that this isn't from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and ta'ziyah can be given through meeting a person, or it can be given over the phone, it can be given after the prayer when you meet the person or outside, or visiting the house if this is something which is necessary. So these are the actions with regards to at-ta'ziyah, condolences, that which is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and that which is not the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The only reason why I emphasized the impermissibility of congregating in the houses for ta'ziyah and fatiha and khatam is because of how common it's come, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said ad-deenu nasiha, this religion is sincere advice. This is an action which is often done by our elders, and obviously it's not possible for me to go out and to teach everybody. So now that you have learnt the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the obligation also falls upon you that you teach the members of this masjid who are falling to this action, you teach your family members, and you don't partake in these actions. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam. Question.